Roy, the Propane Education and Research Council is one of the sponsors of Propane Days taking place here in Washington, D.C. And before we go further, and I'd certainly like to get into some of the things that PERC is doing, let's just talk about your involvement here with this event and what you hope to accomplish here.
This is our third year to have Propane Days here in Washington, D.C. We partner with the National Propane Gas Association and various state and regional propane gas associations. And our primary function here is to educate policymakers in Washington, D.C., both on Capitol Hill and in the federal agencies, about propane and its various uses. Propane is used in many different markets, and so it takes a lot of education just to make sure that policymakers understand the ramifications of, for right now, very dynamic time in energy policy, security, environmental policy, and all of those have an impact on propane. So we're here to get that message out to those policymakers.
So describe the program a little bit here. You've got sessions that are taking place here in the hotel, and then like yesterday, I know it was kind of an outreach effort to bring some of the legislators in after the business day to communicate with them too.
Yes, it's both very formal presentations for our industry, because we come here to learn as well as to talk about what we already know, that is our industry. So we have speakers that come in from federal agencies and from Congress and elsewhere to tell us their perspective of what's going on. We also have social hours afterward, and we have an opportunity to bring congressmen and their staffs to our to a reception area so that we can talk to them in more of an informal, get-to-know-them-better basis. And then we have, like this morning, we have the chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission coming in and just giving us a general overview of the work of that agency and what it does that has an impact on our industry and on our customers.
Well, it looked to me at the reception yesterday like you had pretty good attendance and the kind of people you'd like to interact with to bring this message. Do you feel that way? And how does that compare to the previous years?
Oh, well, this has been the best year that we've had thus far. As I said, we've been at it 3 years, and we're getting a little better. Big change this year was the National Propane Gas Association rescheduled its board meeting to coincide with this event, and I think that has just generated a large outpouring of support by our industry. In addition, we've been able to attract more folks from Capitol Hill to come to our event, so it's been a win-win situation for us.
Well, what are some of the main types of messages that you are bringing here to do the education and the awareness with folks here in Washington?
Well, we have several. On the security regulatory side, one of our messages is to inform policymakers of a proposed Department of Homeland Security rule that would treat propane fuel differently than it treats gasoline fuel storage or diesel fuel storage. And we think they made a mistake when they did that. We've been educating policymakers and regulators about that that problem, and I think we're making some headway there. But on the legislative side, energy policy legislation moving through Congress, and a lot of attention to renewables, and we're trying to say, well, don't forget about the other alternative fuels, because those are available now. And we brought that message both to Capitol Hill and to the Department of Energy and to EPA this week. And so those are the types of messages that we're discussing here in Washington.
Well, I know that you're not the advocacy organization for the industry, but it's kind of hard to not have a function that, in terms of educating about the issue, when they're going to create policy based on what they know or don't know.
Well, that's very true. In fact, we have in the statute that created PERC, we have a responsibility for public education about propane and safety and other aspects of the use of propane. So we don't advocate, PERC doesn't advocate a specific legislative result. What we do is we try to provide the scientific and technical information that policymakers need in order to make those judgments there in a sound and wise way.
Well, looking to the types of work that PERC does, especially in the area of research and also in promotion, what are some of the highlight projects that you think people should be very aware of, and maybe they aren't?
Well, there are a couple of things that are critically important, I think, particularly in an agricultural environment that we're working on. In a general sense, we have what we refer to as our thermal cultivation projects. And it's basically using heat, steam, and flame in order to control pests and, in effect, to dispose or to displace, if you will, some of the chemicals that are used today. We will understand that in order to be successful at that, that those processes have to be cost-effective, and we've got a number of research projects in the field right now, especially using steam to control weeds in orchards and vineyards where the growers, very interested in having organic crops, look to this as a real supplement to the other processes they use to produce. So that's probably one of the most important areas of our research, especially with respect to agriculture. We're also working with a number of groups to perfect propane engines for irrigation pump uses, and that's very important because propane has a natural advantage. It's a very, very stable fuel, so literally it can be stored, and in the unlikely event there is a leak, it doesn't have an impact on groundwater or the soil like gasoline and diesel can, and it can be stored for long periods of time, which really make it very useful for standby power when either the storm or some other cause brings down the power lines, you can still have the electric power you need. And that's very important in a lot of remote rural locations because a lot of the equipment we do, everything from milking cows to processing foods, requires electricity. And so if you can't have access to the grid, having that standby power is a difference between being profitable and not being profitable that day.
Well, it sounds like with that type, if you're showing that type of application in the irrigation area, that's going to lead to some others that would be of real value and interest to in the agricultural sector.
Oh, absolutely. The engines are critically important because a lot of the vehicles and the work that's done on the farm requires us to move things, and we're working on everything as simple as training programs so that refueling equipment is safer and easier to use than it has been. We're making great progress there thanks to the cooperation from a number of farm groups. So we're very pleased with the progress we make there. We've been talking with manufacturers for everything from tractors to combines. So we're looking at a whole array of agricultural equipment and vehicles that hopefully will contribute to successful economics of farming and help us grow our markets at the same time.
Well, I know that we do have a pretty good availability and distribution system nationally for the fuel. That also is got to be a major factor, especially even with agriculture in rural areas.
Absolutely. Propane is available in every state in the United States, and almost every county in the United States there's at least one business operating. So we have very, very wide coverage. Historically, the propane industry has been sort of the natural gas beyond the natural gas utility system, so out in the rural parts of the world. So we have a very substantial and stable storage and distribution system, and that enables us really to we have access to over 80% of the farms in America, according to a recent survey, already have propane on the farms. It's not a bad place for us to be, and that's, again, it's our rural heritage and agriculture's rural heritage kind of bring us together that way.
Well, I understand in the act that created PERC that's actually a mandate you have, is to work on how you can develop agricultural uses.
That's correct. In fact, we worked, the statute itself says that we have to spend at least 5% of our assessment collections on programs to benefit agriculture and to coordinate those programs with agricultural organizations. And our outreach program, we focus on our other checkoff programs, particularly in the agricultural sector, so that we can align our research programs with theirs and hopefully collaborate and accelerate either development of new technology or improved processes.
What other things would you like people to know about what PERC's doing, not just in the agricultural sector, but that would be some of the key projects that are in progress right now that you're like really proud of and want people to know about?
Well, there are a couple of things. First of all, I want to emphasize safety. Every fuel is very, very useful if used the right way, but every fuel, whether it's electricity, gasoline, diesel, or propane, if you don't pay attention to it, you can cause injury. And so we want to emphasize safety. We have a whole array of safety programs that we make available to consumers and to fire departments and to others. Again, just emphasize safety. And safety is always very important and uppermost in our mind. And we have a website, propanesafety.com, which is available for anyone that wants good safety, solid information. So that's one of the things we do. We also have a fairly extensive training program for our own workforce, and we're just now digitizing that and making it user-friendly, if you will, for the people that are down in the basement playing video games today. Well, they will be working in our plants and driving our trucks 5 years from now, and so we're developing training programs that communicate in the way that they're familiar with. So we're very proud of the success that we're making both in safety and in training. In the research area, we have two new projects that are going to deliver into the marketplace, a new school bus and a new pickup truck, Ford F-150 pickup truck that that Roush, their performance products partner, is developing for propane. And we're very proud of that project and goes into the market, I think, in about 2 weeks from now. The school bus is, again, another motor fuel project. It's very important. The propane's been the leading alternative to gasoline and diesel motor fuel in the world. And here in the United States, we've sort of let that market slip away from us. And our ability to attract it back again with top-quality products is something that we're focused a lot of attention on. And we can see it just there on the horizon and look forward to introducing products before the end of this year.
Well, the question that comes to mind that may seem a little, I don't say silly, but I think people might be interested to know who don't, and that is the fuel itself. I guess the question is, where does it come from?
Oh.
You know, I think it's a basic question, but relevant to everything we're talking about. I just thought, you know, I'll bet there's a lot of people that really, they know where they get it or how they see it locally, but might be something we should touch on before we get done.
Well, certainly, and I think that's one of the it's very unique kind of production cycle is one of the things that encouraged Congress to create a commodity checkoff program, because people don't go out and drill a well to discover propane. Propane is a naturally occurring hydrocarbon that is segregated as a separate commodity whenever natural gas is processed for pipeline delivery or crude oil is refined to make gasoline, jet fuel, and other things. You get propane out of those processes whether you intend to or not. So it's been really marketed as a separate commodity since 1912. So we've had this market that is primarily takes advantage of the domestic production of propane, because we get almost 97% of propane comes from U.S.-based refineries, U.S.-based natural gas processing, and then we get imports from Canada. So it's a very domestic and secure fuel, which is very important to our customers. And but having said that, we're also working with researchers at MIT and others, and with the LP Gas Center of Japan, to explore the processes to create propane with renewable resources as well. And that has a great deal of promise, and it really is going to depend, I think, on the kinds of programs that Congress puts in place. But propane is, I mean, it's a very simple, basic molecule, I should say, that is certainly we've got an infrastructure and we've got a national and indeed an international distribution system for propane in place now. And so the ability to manufacture it through renewable resources will give a guarantee and I think a sense of security to customers that there's long-term supply security as well as environmental benefits. So.
Glad you mentioned the biopropane. We were talking about that last night, and I really had not heard much about this. And so it sounds like something that, again, PERC is involved in helping explore. Maybe, you know, when we look at the whole renewable side of the energy equation, something that will have a real application as we look forward.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that customers really are very interested in is making sure that their energy systems are sustainable over time and that have a good positive impact on the environment. I think that's a relatively new consciousness in our society. 10, 15 years ago, I don't think we were talking about those kinds of issues, but now it seems to be the first topic that comes up when you talk about energy and the environment. So we've been working and doing a great deal of collaboration, especially with Japan, which has no indigenous energy resources, but they do have biomass, and they have been working to develop a biologically based renewable product that they can blend with propane, and now they're able to extend their propane supply by 25% using domestic resources in Japan. The work's being done, and it's still fairly new, but it really holds promise. As you can see, if you can expand the supply of energy by 25% using biomass or biofueled propane, that has a tremendous benefit for both for energy security and improvements in the environment.
Well, it's I know the slogan is exceptional energy, and it's certainly I'm learning a whole lot about why that is here at this conference, so I appreciate that opportunity. Anything else that you would like to say in closing about the work that PERC is doing that people should know if we didn't touch on that?
Well, you mentioned exceptional energy, and that's probably a good way to wrap up, because when we adopted that slogan almost 9 years ago, we said to ourselves it was exceptional energy was a promise that we made to our customers and a challenge that we made to ourselves to deliver that exceptional service and exceptional energy products to our customers. That's what we're focused on. We do research and development, safety and training, and consumer education, all focused to make sure that it's an exceptional energy experience for everyone involved.
Well, thank you very much, Roy Willis. He's president and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council, involved in sponsoring the third annual Propane Days taking place here in Washington, D.C. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.